This week, I think the theme in our readings, the theme that I believe the church wants us to contemplate is, where do we ultimately put our trust? Right? Where do we find our hope? First and foremost, as human beings, but secondly, and more importantly, as a Christian people. Right? Where is it that we ultimately find our trust? Or what is it that we ultimately root our lives in? I think that's the fundamental question that we need to ask ourselves. And I think that's an important question too, because during times of difficulty, we really figure out the answer to that question. Because it's in those periods we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we go to for comfort? What is it that we go to help find stability in our lives? I mean, what is it that in the midst of turmoil and tribulation, what is it that we turn to bring some sort of joy, to bring some sort of stability to our lives? I think that's the fundamental question. And interestingly enough, today in the gospel reading, Jesus proclaims what his Sermon on the Plain. It's St. Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? And this Sermon on the Plain essentially speaks of Jesus' moral teaching. This is Jesus giving us heavenly wisdom. This is Jesus giving us the path to blessedness. You know, and frankly, if we were to translate that word blessed, another way that it could be translated is the word happy. Right? Happy are the people who follow this teaching that Jesus lays out for us. And in fact, over the course of the next few Sundays, Jesus will continue on with his moral teaching. And interestingly enough, we hear this gospel begin with Jesus coming down from the mountain. Jesus had just spent the whole night in prayer. And throughout the entirety of Scripture, it's mountains. Mountains are the place where individuals go to have an experience of God. Right, this is where Moses goes up Mount Sinai so as to receive the Ten Commandments. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Jesus going up on Mount Tabor for the Transfiguration. Calvary, Mount Calvary, where Jesus goes so as to offer himself. These great experiences of God manifesting his glory, they happen on mountaintops. And Jesus, he goes up so as to receive that heavenly wisdom, and then he comes down and he bestows that upon his disciples. And that wisdom that we hear today is St. Luke's version of the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, even still to this day in my life, there's something that are so completely and utterly perplexing. Because it's something completely contrary to what we as human beings are inclined to believe. Right, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger. Right, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of Jesus. These are things that we don't necessarily associate as the path to blessedness. Nonetheless, the path to happiness itself. But ultimately, what Jesus is telling us is he says, heavenly wisdom is something far different from the wisdom that we would associate here on earth. And just to be clear, Jesus is not saying that there's anything wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with feeling pleasure, with good feelings, with being satisfied. But ultimately what he's laying out is the problem can be that we can become attached to those things. That we can place our ultimate hope in the things of this world. And as we all know, this world is a very, very fleeting place. Again, especially when those times of difficulty, when those times of trial, tribulation, when those come, just ask anybody who's extremely wealthy. Their money doesn't get them through that. There's something more than that. You know, in fact, for me, as I was praying with these readings over the course of this week, especially our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, he says, "Blessed are those who put their hope and trust in the Lord. For they are like the tree or the bush that is planted beside water. It has roots that stretch out to the stream. That even in the midst of the summer heat, it still bears fruit. It can still endure the changing of seasons. Right? Its roots stretch out to the stream. That even in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty, it can weather the storm. It can weather the difficulty. You know, for me, over the course of this week, I found myself in St. Francis Hospital a couple of times. And as I was praying with this, it came back to an experience that I had four years ago. As a seminarian, I was stationed as a chaplain, or assisting the chaplain department at St. Francis, roughly four summers ago. And over the course of those 3 months there, you name it, I saw it. And what's interesting for us as chaplains, anytime we have someone who comes in into the trauma bay, we're there. We respond. We're the ones who help the families in the midst of whatever is going on. And there's one story that I still come back to because it's continued to form me. It's something that I will never forget. I'll remember this day for the rest of my life. It was the first day that I watched someone actively die in front of me. I got called in to one of the emergency room bays to a man in his mid-30s who had suffered a heart attack. And I go into this small room, and there's 15 people there. I mean, and it looks like it's utter chaos. There's so much going on. And so I come in to see them performing CPR on this man in his mid-30s. And anybody who's seen CPR before knows that it's no joke. It's an extremely violent act. You know, I mean, when we see it in the movies, you know, I mean, it looks like they're doing that, they're barely, doing chest compressions. I mean, in reality, what they're doing is they're breaking ribs. They're on top. I mean, it's a traumatic scene. And I remember that finally when this man's wife had come into the ER, had come into this trauma bay to see what was going on, she immediately broke down, and understandably. I mean, just to see this, again, for me it was traumatic. And I remember the doctor explaining to this hysterical woman that even if they're able to bring her husband back, his mind has gone without oxygen for so long that he won't be the man that she remembers. And so she breaks down. And then they continue chest compressions for another couple of minutes. And then finally the doctor, the head ER doctor, he looks around and he says, "Does anybody else have any other ideas?" Nobody says anything and they call time of death. And to me, I mean, again, this all happened so quickly. And it seemed like within 30 seconds of all of that, the whole room had cleared out. Except for myself, this woman, and another person who was with her, another one of her friends. And so I stayed there, I prayed with them, I tried to offer any consolation that I possibly could. I was in there for a few minutes, which felt like an eternity. But the thing that really struck me was as soon as I left, as soon as I went back out into the emergency room proper, those 15 people that I had just seen in there, their whole life had gone back to normal. I mean, there were people, they were eating lunch. They were talking. They were back, they were working on something else. And I come out because I'm thinking, like, this is an experience that I'll never forget. And we're 2 minutes down the way and they're already on to something else. You know, and I say this to their credit, frankly. I mean, this is something that they see every single day. And I remember driving home that night. I was at a stoplight at McLean and Harry, on my way down to St. Anne's where I was living. And I remember asking myself, how on earth can these doctors, can these nurses, how can they be exposed to this every single day? I mean, what gets them through this day? What allows them to now go back home and just live a normal life? Because the reality was that, you know, this woman, she placed her husband's life in our hands. Right, in the hands of those nurses, the hands of those doctors. And we failed. She asked us to do everything that we could to save her husband's life, and we couldn't. And I'm not saying that there's anything that we necessarily could have done, but the reality is we failed. We didn't live up to the expectation, or we didn't live up to what she had ultimately desired. And it was at that moment that I said, I have no idea how these doctors, how these nurses, how they can weather the storm without faith. I mean, what is it that they put their ultimate hope in, their trust in? And this is something that I continue to come back to today. That for me, it's my faith, it's my hope. It's my hope that, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading today, that because Jesus Christ, because he offered his life for us, there's something beyond merely the here and now. That even though we as a team there at St. Francis, even though we failed, Jesus succeeded. That even though this man in his mid-30s, even though he died right in our midst, he lives now because we put our hope in Jesus Christ. We put our hope in the fact that he resurrected and that we too can resurrect with him. You see, it's our faith that allows us to be like that tree that has its roots that stretch out to the stream itself. That's the thing, at least for me, that gives stability in my life, stability in the midst of the turmoil, the tribulation, whatever it may be. And I think the key for us this week, it's always to remember when Noah built the ark. Right? He built the ark before the flood. Right? He built the ark even before it started raining. That's like the tree that establishes its roots, that stretches out to the stream. It's ready to weather that storm whenever it comes. And I think that's the question that the church offers us this week, is what do we put our hope in? What do we trust in? Because as the prophet Jeremiah tells us, those of us who hope in the Lord, those of us who trust in the heavenly wisdom that Jesus offers us in the Beatitudes, right? The heavenly wisdom that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us so that we too might have life. It's that we place our hope in. It's that, like the tree, that can bear fruit in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the trial and the tribulation. This week, may we ask ourselves, what is it that we hope in? And as St. Paul tells us, may we hope in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead.